Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Life is life. A mountain railroad with an engine that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle.
We're back. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show coming to you live out of Alaska. I'm Ralph Kermit Winterroad II. And why don't we ever hear for the solutions? Why? We gotta take this republic back or try to save it. How do we fight? I think that's a dang good thing to learn, you think? Or do we just sit back and say, see, there did another one, there went another right, there went this, there went that. We're being ruled by agencies, so we have to identify them. We're being ruled by executive orders, so we need to identify those. How does that relate to me and you? There's only two acts that's used against agencies. The Federal Register Act of 1935 and the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946, which I found out technically was redone, and I think it was it was either 1966 or 1968. But they still use, in Westlaw, the APA of 1946, as though it's not been repealed. And they put it into the code of, because you can go into Westlaw and look up any statute and look at any of the sections and see where they're codified today. And it happens to give the 1946 code book, which I happen to have a copy of. Does not show it's been repealed. And the Federal Register Act of 1935, it's still there. There is no repeal on it at all. But they have in 44 U.S.C. 1501 and about 506 or 7 statutes. They're called proposed legislation. And I asked Westlaw, why are you using proposed legislation? Well, I don't know. Somebody at Westlaw knows what's going on, of course, because they're on the inside track. But it's never been repealed. So how do I identify? First of all, I have to identify the enemy. Then I got to find out if this enemy, how do I go about exposing it and fighting it? Number one, is it an agency or a federal agency? The Federal Register Act of 1935 says federal agency means President of the United States. It said that they gave a status to the President of the United States as a federal agency. This is where he gets the authority to do executive orders. Agencies there too. That's kind of important. So we can say the President of the United States, he's a federal agency in this world of landlord tenants, of Congress being the plenary, of having all the political rights. They're a sovereign body politic. And they printed, and I got 110 cases. They don't hide it. You just got to have the Westlaw and have the option to look in, search in some of the later cases under parties. That's their status. I'm a citizen. I'm a United States of America is a sovereign body politic. They don't hide it. That's a pretty scary thought. Who in the holy heck would want to be under the have the plenary power, political power under Schumer and the Democrats and a bunch of stupid rhinos and a bunch of coward Republicans? I don't think so. But that's an important issue. Then we have to look at the fact of if it is a, by the way, and it was put in the Federal Register, in 1935 and 1938 and 1946, the parts of that was put in the Federal Register. They put the whole act in there, in two of them. That's pretty amazing. I've never seen that done before. They actually put the whole act. Congress put the whole act in because that is where the administrative state resides. And then what'd they do? In that, they said anything that has general applicability and legal effect has got to be published in the Federal Register. So it says, number one, if you're an agency or a federal agency, anything that has general applicability or legal effect has to be published in the Federal Register. So, this is like going to an act of Congress. Actually, it should be a law of the United States, but we'll leave that alone right now. It's public laws, which are not laws of the United States, but that's another whole issue. But the bottom line is the administrative state. It's an agency. They're all agencies are federal agencies. Federal Reserve, SEC, IRS, all of them, FAA, CDC, all these folks. They have to put it in the Federal Register if it has general applicability or legal effect. It has to be there. So that's a good thing. That's where I want to go look. I want to see if anything they're doing, why does the IRS use code when they come after me? They don't have any authority to cite 6331 or So they don't have any authority to do that because we don't know no better. IRS, these agencies, have no statutory authority from Congress to use code against us. The only statutory authority that an agency can have is if Congress gives a specific limited delegation of power to say, hey, go out there, and Congress says, hey, go out there, CDC, and make up a regulation for masks. doesn't exist. General does not work, because that would be transferring the total legislative power of Congress to an agency. That would be too obvious. We can't get away. They can't get away with that. So, number one, I have to identify the agency. It's in the Federal Register Act. It says so. Number two, if it has general applicability, legal effect, it shall be in the Federal Register. It's got to be there. What else does it say? And it says, no document required under Section 5A was no document of general applicability, legal effect. So if they're going to try to make it and hammer my butt and yours, it says, shall be published, is not valid against any person who has not had actual knowledge thereof. So therefore, we've got number one, established as an agency. That's the Federal Register. Number two, they say it's going to have legal effect or general applicability, legal effect. And it says, if it's going to do that, it shall be in the Federal Register. So number one, any agency that's going to come after you and me, if it's going to have general applicability and legal effect, it's got to be in the Federal Register. If it ain't there, you can tell me I'll have a nice life. And then under Section 7, it says everything in there has got to be judicially noticed. That is where they give it the rule of law in the administrative state. That's Section 7. Now that's the starter point. So number one, we've got to identify, is it an agency, CDC? Number two, if it's going to have general applicability and legal effect, there's got to be something published in the Federal Register. I went in and looked what they said about masks. It's nonsense, but I'm going to tell you how to debunk that. Just because it's in the Federal Register does not make it have general applicability and legal effect. And they have to judicially notice it. That's the rule of law in the administrative state. So what else does it have to have? Number one, we got to identify the agency. Number two, if it's going to have general applicability, legal effect, it's got to be there. And if it's not there, you can tell them have a nice life. And anything that's in there has to be judicially noticed. That's the rule of law in the administrative state. But that's not enough. Because you see, after 1935 Federal Register Act, F. Franklin Delano Roosevelt in his New Deal, he put out the government to investigate because Congress and the president says, we don't have any control over these agencies. 400-page document, which I got out of the Washington. He brought the book up here on loan and copied it. It's an amazing book. They call it The Headless Fourth Branch of Government. That's FDR. He said, well, we got to do something. We don't have any. We've created this new deal, and we can't control these things. So what'd they do? They passed the Walter Logan Act, 1940. FDR vetoed it because it still didn't give them control. So in 1946, they passed the Administrative Procedures Act, only for the purpose of calling substantive regulations to have the force and effect of law. It's under color of law. It looks like, but it's not. So how does that do it? So number one, I have to identify it's an agency. They admit that. But that's in the Federal Register Act. If it's going to have general applicability and legal effect, it has to be in the Federal Register. If it ain't there, we can tell them to have a nice life, and it's judicially noticed, that's the rule of law. But then how do I test that regulation to see if it has the force and effect of law? That's the other part that has to be done. It isn't as simple as saying, oh, well, it's in the code, it's in the United States code, or it's codified in my state, so I'm going to presume there actually was a vote by the House and the Senate and signed by the governor or the president of the United States, or a veto was overridden. You can't look at CFRs. Sea of Hearts is a compilation on the same subject of Federal Register publications. The only thing that has force and effect of law, if it meets general applicability, legal effect, and is in compliance with the Administrative Procedures Act, you have to go to the Federal Register and look. And it has to say. It has to tell us. Now, there are some we can automatically rule out, which they don't want you to know. IRS is one that's the easiest, because if it says 26 CFR 301 point something, that automatically says it's a housekeeping. It's under 5 USC 301. They don't tell you that. It's there if you know how to look for it. But it says it's a housekeeping. It's only for their internal nonsense. Take IRS. They put people in jail. Tax evasion. 7201. Three essential elements. What's the first one? There's got to be a notice of deficiency. You got to owe somebody. Got to have notice. How would I get notice from the IRS? I have to look in the Federal Register. Did they give me a thing under their code? Oh, it's under 301. It's housekeeping. That's irrelevant. It means nothing. It's what they want to use. I don't give a rat's rump what those people over there in IRS want to use. Notice of deficiency, the definitions of notice of deficiency, the assessment, the notices of federal tax lien is all, they are all under 301. They were republished in 1967. Did you know that? I'll bet not. Did they tell you that? Well, I guarantee you they didn't tell you that. Their only authority is 301s for when it says you got to have a notice of deficiency, a housekeeping rig to go to tax court. Now, why in the holy heck would I want to go to tax court? I used to say initially, go to tax court. As soon as I found out they wouldn't take judicial notice, that means there's no rule of law. I said, wait a minute, I've got to learn more. When a man finds out he is honestly mistaken, he'll do one of two things. He will either continue to be mistaken or he will be honest. Got to be one of the two. That's a good thing to remember. These people, when they find out, they don't want to know. They don't want to look at the, you have to look at what's going on. You have to understand what we're up against. There's no three branches of government in the world that we think exists. It's still, the real one's there. It's like the Matrix. There's a real world there, but the one that we're in, where we're slaves and Congress has plenary power, there's no three separate branches of government at all. It doesn't exist. In Alaska, they get around and they have a contract between the executive, the child slaver, CSSD, in the court system, which is supposed to be judicial, and the judge that says in Article 6, he's audited for the amount of money he makes for the, so he can get grant money from the feds. He don't give a rat's rump about people. Driver's licenses, state plan. Have you ever looked at your state plan? I have for every state. 2019. Driver's licenses, your child custody, your divorces, all kinds of stuff. It's all under the CFRs. It's under total control of federal regulations, and none of them have the force and effect of law. It is a con. But if you don't understand it, which I'm going to get to the rest of this, you have no chance. They're going to run over you, and you're going to scratch your head. Say, wait a minute, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They never said they're going to do it, because you didn't bring the argument to expose the liars for what they are. They're laughing at us. In
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus.
$500 gets you two Commander memberships at Front Sight. $500 for two Commander memberships. Give one to whomever you would like.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Okay, we're back here. And we've got number one, identifies an agency. That's the Federal Register Act. Even the President of the United States, he has to publish his executive orders in the Federal Register. Number two, if it's general applicability and legal effect, it is there. If it's not there, they can't use it against us. And the rule of law, the standard of review, is they have to take judicial notice of it. Any court, any administrative entity. Okay? That's the con. Getting started. But that's not where it ends. The next problem we run into is once we find out it's in the Federal Register, they put them together under CFRs, Code of Federal Regulations, a whole bunch of one or more Federal Register publications under a subject. CFRs are not, there's no judicial notice of CFRs. You have to go to the Federal Register. And you look for two things. These two things have to be there. Now, you can exclude, like with the IRS, if it's part 301 point something, that's housekeeping. If it's a part 601, that's procedural. Courts have ruled, it's just irrelevant. Don't need to worry about it. There's two things that have to be in the Federal Register. Number one, ever since it was redone in 1968, I think it was, 5 U.S.C. 553. It has to, you search immediately on 553. Just the number. Should have a little B after it. but sometimes they don't. But it's 553. And they have to say that that's the formal, which means formal means there has to be a notice of a proposed rule. They have to give us notice of a proposed rule. We have the right to comment it. We can sue on it. But it has to say it's due and formal. They have to come back with the final rule. They have to put the comments in. Notice they have to do all this nonsense. Yeah, we sued them. We didn't sue them. Then they're supposed to be under B, C, and then D. They're supposed to wait 30 days. You'll never see a formal. I've never seen one. I've looked at, I don't know how many. What you will find is the con. And I used to didn't know how the informal worked. I saw it, but I didn't understand until I got a hold of the Senate report of 1946 explaining how this other part works. That's why we have books. Once you see it, it's like, oh my gosh, why didn't I understand that? What they will do in the Federal Register Act, number one, there won't be any reference to 553. That's garbage. Number two, they'll say, oh, we're going to have notice and comment, but there's still no reference to 553. Still garbage, okay? Oh, we're going to do 553, but they will say it is impractical, it is unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest. Really? So how do we identify that as a problem? Well, you got to see, first of all, it says, this is called the exemption of the emergency or necessity is not an escape clause. A true and supported and supportable finding of necessity or emergency must be made and published. They never do it. They will use those words. It is impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest. They never state the emergency because there is none. And we don't know that. Courts, I found, yeah, there's court cases on it now that I know what I'm looking for. They don't tell us that. And you look at a lot of these court decisions, which I'm going to get into in a minute, we don't bring up the right reason to the court, and the court is technically under no obligation to correct what we don't bring up. If we bring up the wrong question, they're going to say, well, you didn't ask the right question. First of all, what is impractical? How can something be impractical or unnecessary or against the public interest? Well, impractical means situation in which the due and required execution of an agency functions would be unavoidably prevented by its undertaking public rulemaking procedure. In other words, how dare you come and tell us why we don't have the authority? That's impractical. That would stop them from doing it. We'd file in and say, no. You don't got no authority to do this. Because you know why? This is what you get to every executive order, every regulation, to the first part of it to ever even go towards the call of the force and effect of law under Chrysler v. Brown. Must have a specific identifiable statutory authority. What's that mean? It means Congress should say, hey, CDC, go make a regulation on masks. They can't give you, like the IRS, a general authority. They can't do that. Because that would be giving away all the lawmaking, quote, perception to Congress, to an agency. This is the same thing with executive orders. And I've never seen one yet. I mean, I'm sure there might be some out there, but I've never seen one yet. Back in there.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, we're back here. And, like I say, how do I attack these people? This works for every agency, by the way. Number one, I establish it is an agency. That's the Federal Register Act, 1935. If it has general applicability and legal effect, it is required, mandated to be in the Federal Register. Number three, the court, the rule of law, has to take judicial notice of it. So the next question becomes, how do I know if it has the force and effect of law? That's where the APA come in, the Administrative Act of 1946. Number one, it's got to be formal. It will have to say in the proposed rule, in a final rule. They can't just do one rule. They can't just say, this is what it's going to be. This is what they did on the Part 301s in 1967. They just published everything and said, no, this is the way it is. No, that's automatically. But they put a 301 in front of it, so you automatically can say, well, that's nice. It had nothing to do with me. This notice of deficiency and all that's all a bunch of crap. Nonsense. So, what do they do? You go look. If it doesn't have 301 or 601 in front of it, because a lot of them don't, the IRS is the ones that do that particularly, you go to the Federal Register Act. And you search on 553. There shall be a proposed rule and there shall be a final. And both have to say 553. If it's formal, they'll say we're abiding by 553, little b. Not going to happen. Never see one. They're going to do the informal. And how do I defeat that or expose it? Because they will say, There'll be a lot of impractical, unnecessary, contrary to the public interest. Or there's a lot of them, they don't say anything. We got a notice and comment, like somehow that don't do anything. And if they don't say anything about 553, regardless of whatever else they say, it's garbage. Because it's mandated. They have to give us notice. This might be, have the force and effect of law. Without notice, they can't go nowhere. That's the key. The kick here is that they use this impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest, and summed up those three mean exactly. Shall not prevent an agency from operating, and that on the other hand, this is the lack of public interest. So this is under impractical. Functions would unavoidably be prevented by its undertaking public rulemaking. So impractical, it means they don't have any authority to be doing it. And they have to declare the emergency. If they use those three or any one of those three, they have to declare the emergency. That's in the APA of 1946, sections 3 and 4, and it's in 5 U.S.C. 553. And if they don't have any of that, it's nonsense. But you have to go to the Federal Register. And they have to take judicial notice, if you just quote it, and say, hey, it's not in compliance. But the other part that I didn't know, I got to bring it up here. Well, you always want to say it's arbitrary and capricious. They always want to say, oh, it's arbitrary and capricious. No. And how does that work? Well, let me put in here 5 U.S.C. 706. I come across the case, and it makes so much sense. I said, Ralph, why are you not paying attention to what's going on? Because, let's see, which one is it here? I'm not saying the right one that I want to look at here, but what it is, it's under the 706 where it says arbitrary and capricious. Guess what happens? Arbitrary and capricious goes to what? That goes to the merits. That's what's inside the actual text. That's not how I fight this thing. And I didn't see it. I didn't understand what the problem was. Why am I not seeing it here? It's D. What it is? Oh, there it is, right there. No, I didn't either. Well, I'm not sure why I can't get my hands on it, but arbitrary and capricious is not the problem. Because if they make a regulation and it's full of nonsense, it might be arbitrary and capricious, but that's not the problem. I have to go to D, which says they didn't follow procedure. I don't attack what's inside of it. I have to attack the fact that it did not follow procedure. That's the issue. I don't know how I missed that. Because they're always telling us, oh, file because it's arbitrary and capricious. Yeah, it is a bunch of nonsense. And you try to say, well, it doesn't follow the statutory law, it doesn't do this. But that's not the killer. Because the thing they have to take judicial notice of is what? Procedure. That's what they have to take judicial notice of, is the procedure is not being followed. And that procedure is 5 U.S.C. 553B. And that's how we expose what these suckers are doing. They don't tell us that. They're not going to tell us that. But I did find, you read enough cases, pretty soon, you start catching on to what these guys are up to. But you just, it's just a matter of I look at it enough of these. All I can say, you always got to keep your eye out, because at some point, somebody will get around and let you know what's going on. One of these judges will slip up and put the truth out there. And it's, they didn't follow procedure. That's what we have to do to go after them. It's amazing, isn't it? Unbelievable. I never went, because everybody always say, well, you go after this. Arbitrary and capricious. But it's D. It's 5 U.S.C. 706-1, and it's actually number 2, capital D, without observance of procedure required by law. They always want to go after arbitrary and capricious. That's the text. But that's not the problem. It's the procedure. It's irrelevant what's inside of it. Yeah, what's inside is arbitrary and capricious, but I don't understand how to go out, well, how the court looks at it. Because it has no law behind it. It's called procedure, because the administrative world operates on procedures. And they didn't follow the procedures. And it's 5 U.S.C. 706, number 2D, without observance of procedure required by law. They still use the Attorney General's Manual of 1947, which I have a copy of. I have a copy of the federal and, what's the other one? I forget. There's another one that Congress uses. They still use the 1947 Administrative or Attorney General's Manual. And you want to be careful with bylaw, because bylaw, they changed it. It said statute, they changed it to bylaw, which means everything. Just accepted practice as bylaw. That's in the Attorney General's Manual, too. So bylaw is not law. This is a con. These guys are playing word games. But in summary, all agencies must adhere to the Federal Register Act and the Administrative Procedures Act. They have to put it in the Federal Register. If it's not there, it can't have general applicability and legal effect. And if it is there, the next test is, does it have the force and effect of law? It shall say 553 in a proposed rule and a final rule. If it don't say 553, drop it in the trash. If it says notice and comment, drop it in the trash. Impractical, unnecessary public interest. If it does not say there's the emergency and explain it, it's still trash. And what's amazing is the IRS, in the beginning of its CFR books that they publish every year, publish the Federal Register, 1954. They leave out the very last paragraph, which says they have to go back to the Federal Register Act, Sections 3 and 4, which they can't do. They leave it out. It's only one paragraph of the Federal Register, because if it was there, they would have to abide by it. They're admitting they're never going to do it. It's in the front of every book on page 3. They just say that here's the Federal Register Act, it's 1951-97. In part, this is the game for these people of enslavement. Why would you leave out just the one paragraph? That's because you're not saying you're going to do it. If they say they're going to do it, they'd have be bound by judicial notice of their book. They're saying right off, we're not going to do it. But you guys are so damn stupid. Which we are. I guarantee we are. I'm right there with the rest of you. How would you know any of this stuff? You, number one, we need to fight them. And then which I've got upcoming, is to go after them under Bivens, but you could also put in under 7433 the regulatory nonsense to their area directors, and they got 6 months to come back, or you can sue them for $1 million. That's their stuff. Nobody's doing it. Why? This is there in their crazy world of the Matrix. But you can't go to war unless you identify the enemy. And the enemy is agencies. It's called the Headless Fourth Branch of Government. They came under FDR. That's the name he gave them. That's a hell of a read, that book. 400 pages. I've got it down to about 60 pages, which can be emailed. Email me and I'll send you a copy. It's in the Congressional Record, too, of 1946. And it says right in the Congressional Record, nothing attaches to a citizen until it's published in the Federal Register. That's Congress talking in 1946. What's that tell you? Because a citizen of the United States, if I've got a landlord-tenant, you want to get into that status. I got to tell you about it. Just like they do the statutory law. If you say, I'm a tenant, and they're the landlord, what's they got to tell us? And the agencies can't reach us except through the Federal Register Act by putting it in the Federal Register. But then they make it more complicated, because just because they publish it don't mean a damn thing. It means it might have general applicability and legal effect because they're liars. That's why they had to put the APA in 1946 to say, okay, they're telling us it may have general applicability and legal effect, but we don't know. It's not like where they actually pass a law and say it is a law. No, they made it very convoluted. And you got all of these court decisions that walk all around. If you know what's going on, you can see how they walk around the jug hole. You didn't ask the right question. Just like you put in arbitrary and capricious. They make a law that's unconstitutional, but you argue the fact that what's in it is arbitrary and capricious. No, you'll never win, because you have to attack the fact, number one, it's not constitutional. How can you attack what's in it if you don't attack the foundation of what it is? That's the con. Oh, go to arbitrary and capricious. And they wrote, no, we can walk, they walk. Well, we'll give it some deference. And they give you BS answers. Purposeful sophistry. That's what they're doing. I like those words. I use that. Let me look that up here. I use that in legal briefs. That's their stuff. I like that. I like to use. See, I look at their stuff. I love using their stuff against them. Because most of these attorneys are just liars. They just really are. I mean, it's just unbelievable what these guys get away with. It is the intention of deceiving, a fallacious argument. That's what they do. It's meant to deceive and obfuscate. They make it so complicated, you say, why the hell did I lose? Number one, there are no constitutional officers except in the Supreme Court of the United States. Technically, they aren't even there, but that is in Article 3. It has to exist because it's in the Constitution of the United States. They tell us in these courts of the United States, they're not courts of the United States. It says United States District Court, 28 U.S.C. 132. It says what they're doing. Don't say law and equity in there. Says there any rule, order, or whatever, and they say judicial power of a district court. District court is not a government. The judge represents the court, and the court is bound by what? The plenary power of Congress. The judge is representing Congress. Article 3 courts can't even touch regulations because there is no injured party. It doesn't come under law and equity. Attorney General's opinion says so. 1940, when they were trying to figure out how to con us. And these courts can't even do regulatory stuff. Goes clear back to Hayburn's case, 1792, when they were trying to give benefits to people that was in their war. They said, no, courts can't go there. They do it every day. What's that tell you? We're in a hell of a fix, people. But if we don't wise up, we're going to lose. Back in a minute.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-and Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-and Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, well, we're back here. And let's take this H.R. 1. The term state means each of the several states, the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, Guam, American Samoa, the United States Virgin Islands, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. Number one, why are they defining that state? Then you go look, there's also a place where state means, in a certain other little area, the several states and the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia and the several states have nothing in damn common. They either legislate for the several states, called laws of the United States, or they legislate in D.C. Those are called acts of Congress or laws of the United States of America. You can't mix them up. That's two different venues. So why would they have in this act? We've got a couple of places where it's got all of these territories and possessions. Then we got where with several states and the District of Columbia. Does we not have a problem? Why do we have to define the word state? Because of the 17th Amendment, 1913, when they did that, they left out the word several states. They just made it state. And in 1913, the government was always the government of the United States. You go look in all your Supreme Court decisions, it was always United States was the government. After 1913, it became United States of America. Why? Because there was no parties to the Constitution of the United States. Because the legislatures of the several states put in the senators. They got rid of that. They put it under citizens of the United States. And then we bought into that nonsense. So we said we'd rather be tenants and have Congress have plenary power over us. Because they're so good. They offer benefits. Money. IRS at AlaskaMinuteman.com is how to get a hold of me. IRS at AlaskaMinuteman.com. I took their HR1 and undid it because it locked up so I could highlight it. You want to see a copy? Send me it to IRS at AlaskaMinuteman.com. I operate off of donations. And we're going to be taking these guys on. I am. I'm not backing down. They can't do anything to me. Can't do anything to me. We need the truth out there. And the thing is, if you call up these people and if you don't have the real facts, well, does a citizen of the United States have political rights? Yes or no? Does a citizen of the United States have the right of suffrage or the right of the elective franchise? Yes or no? Does a citizen of the United States have the right to an Article III court? Yes or no? Does a citizen of the United States have the right of taxation without representation? Yes or no? Why are you defining state in several different meanings in the same act? One, it's everybody. Some, it's just D.C. and the several states. Why is that? Who are you legislating for? Well, who is a citizen of the United States? Well, I want to know. You're the dang legislator, and if you can't answer that question, you're in over your head. They won't answer, I don't think. But we have to have questions to which we know the answer to. This is why lawyers are really dangerous when you go up against one of these lying crooks. But they use definitions. Always look to the definitions, because the English language in the world of this matrix is by definitions. They change. Dog means cat, dog means a moon, whatever. Anyway, what's up with the federalities and what's up for the Chi-Coms, and God willing, we will see you next Sunday.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity.